Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Free Bruce Podcast. I'm Brian Fisher of CBSSports.com, joined as always by the namesake Bruce Feldman. And it's been a while, Bruce, but a lot has happened in the college football world. Going to look back and talk a little bit about the Heisman and Robert Griffin winning that. And then look ahead. This is kind of our bowl preview edition. Lots of bowls coming up, capped off by the national championship game in early January. And fun couple weeks coming up, isn't that right, Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, I think even though everyone says there's always too many bowls, I still think you can never get enough college football, even if the matchups are a little dubious when you get 6-6 and 7-5 teams, and some of these guys, some of these bowl teams have coaches who have been since fired. But you know what? Yeah, on a Tuesday night or on a Friday night, I'll still take college football over over hockey or whatever else there is left on TV.
Absolutely, and good news for us, though. I mean, we're big NBA fans, us too, so we're also getting that back. So if it's something like the New Mexico Bowl, which is Wyoming and Temple, you know, we'll at least have some sort of an alternative.
Yeah, and you know what? For Wyoming, you get a chance to see one of the better, you know, true freshman quarterbacks in the country, Brett Smith, and you know, Florida fans, if they're missing Steve Adazio, they can get their Adazio fix by watching the Owls.
There are some pretty big bowls coming up, and we'll definitely get to those. But did want to get your thoughts on RG3 winning the Heisman. I know we both voted for him. I think he was well deserving because, you know, I especially know how bad that Baylor program has been, and to take it to 9 wins this year really transformed the culture in Waco. It was something special to watch. Great speech on Saturday as well.
Just an impressive guy all the way around. You know, I remember 3 years ago going to Waco to do a story on he and the program at that stage, and was very impressed. You know, here's a kid from military parents, been a strong student. Obviously, everybody knew about his track background, but to see how he blossomed as a quarterback, not just a running quarterback, was really, really impressive. The growth he had made. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago when I was back in Dallas, went to see Gary Patterson, and he was so impressed by the improvement from last year to this year in Robert Griffin, especially in terms of throwing the deep ball. And one of the things he said was he wasn't very good at it before, and this is something he must have worked his butt off to have gotten a lot better. And you saw the damage he could do on defenses. And I just keep coming back to, this is a team that had one of the worst defenses in college football. Every team statistically around where Baylor finished, you know, is barely 500 or worse, and they're 9-3 and the top 20 team and had some big wins. And I think, he was a program changing talent, and there aren't a lot of people, win the Heisman or not, who you can say can completely change the image of a football program or do. He's really one of those guys at the top of the list you could say has done that in the last decade.
This year especially, it seems it's definitely more than last year, was wide open. You know, there were so many great candidates. I think, you know, we both had issues with 2 and 3 on our ballots, you know, more than number one. I mean, it was just such a deep field, and you saw that at the Heisman ceremony. I mean, Monty Ball certainly deserving with as great a season as he's had. You know, Andrew Luck, everybody said he was a shoo-in at the beginning of the year for the award. Turned in a very good season. I think not quite to the level of expectations, but nevertheless, Stanford's 11-1 and going to another BCS bowl because of him. Just it seemed like there was just a great year in college football in terms of candidates for the most outstanding player in the sport.
To me, there were like 6 or 7 guys who really deserved to be in New York. You know, you had a couple of the running backs and Monty Ball and Trent Richardson who had terrific seasons. You had Andrew Luck, who, despite not having great wide receivers around him, you know, again was fantastic. You had Matt Barkley, who did have the terrific receivers, who really took off, especially in the second half of the year, and has really elevated USC from the doldrums of the NCAA sanctions. And then even Kellen Moore, who's been so good for 4 years and again was great. I mean, all those guys, I think, just really, you know, you look at them, and we haven't even, not even talking about the best impact defensive or non-offensive guy in Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, it was a terrific season for guys, and I think you look at what Robert Griffin III was able to do by finishing off the year as he did. I think it was in that regard, it was a very interesting Heisman race all the way through, and it was an entertaining Heisman race.
It is, and of course, most of those guys will be moving on to the bowl game, so we'll get to see them later on in the year. But do want to say this is kind of our bowl preview issue. You know, we're ahead of I guess bowl week, as they like to call it, on the mothership, and plenty coming up. A couple of the early bowls have some so-so teams. Is there anybody out of kind of that first night? I know there's the New Mexico Bowl. We talked a little bit about Wyoming and Temple, Ohio, Utah State. ULLA, San Diego State, FIU, Marshall. Is any of those teams enough to turn on the television in your mind?
Oh, a lot of them. I mean, I'll definitely watch, you know, almost any of those games. I mean, look, San Diego State has some guys who will be who I think will be playing in the NFL. You know, and if not, you know, their quarterback this year, or a great running back coming up next year. TCU has some of the best young talent in college football. It is a sophomore-dominated team. I think they're going to be a legitimate top 15 team, maybe top 10 team next year. I think they have some building blocks. Curious to see what Vontaze Burfict and Arizona State is going to do after all the transition on the coaching staff, how those guys are going to handle going up against the Boise team. I mean, Arizona State has some talent, but you know, I think one team is always very focused. The other team, you wonder about their focus. Last year, FIU provided some of the best, you know, more and more emotional finishes to a bowl game, and I think that, you know, it's another chance to see T.Y. Hilton where that program's at. You know, it's a lot of there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of matchups, and I think it's good to see this kind of stage because for all college football fans, you know what? A couple of weeks from now, you're going to miss it because the game's it's going to be over. We're not going to have college football for another 9 months or so. And so that Mako Las Vegas Bowl, you're going to miss it. You're going to regret you haven't had a chance to see it come June, May, that time of year.
Absolutely, and I'll actually be going down to the Poinsettia Bowl to see TCU and the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas to see Boise State. Always interesting, I guess, and kind of the storyline in that Las Vegas Bowl is Kellen Moore, the NCAA's all-time winningest quarterback. He's only lost, I think he's lost three games by 5 points in his entire career, and he's ending his the season in Las Vegas. It just doesn't seem fair sometimes when you look at what teams have done and what Boise State has accomplished. It kind of seems like they're going out on a thud before Christmas.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen them play one of those glamour programs at the very least. Would rather have seen them in a game against Michigan, say, as opposed to against an Arizona State team that, you know, doesn't even have a 500 record in the Pac-12. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And Boise State, if they beat them by 30, people are going to go, yeah, but Arizona State, you know, how good were they? They didn't even have a coaching staff at this point really in place. And, but that's the lot Boise State is in right now. And, you know, I think they would have done really good TV ratings if you put them in any of those games. And you're right. I mean, they came within two kicks away from undefeated seasons the last couple of years. And you know, they handled a Georgia team that proved to be pretty good, basically in Georgia's backyard. So I think there's a lot to be said for the job they've done. And Kellen Moore had a phenomenal career there. I'll be curious to see how he does at the next level. He doesn't have the NFL size, doesn't have, you know, the Ryan Mallett arm or anything like that. But he is a very smart, very accurate quarterback who did about everything you could ever imagine a 6 foot, 185-pound quarterback could do in college.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch Kellen Moore because if you get to see him up close in person, he really looks like, you know, he's just out of high school, and then he'll drop in just a perfect pass and such a joy to watch. And so it will be fun to go see him. A couple of the other bowls kind of after Christmas, there's the Independence Bowl with the newest SEC member against North Carolina. Now, last year, North Carolina gave us a bunch of hijinks at the end of the game against Tennessee, but is this one worth watching with Missouri on their way out? They're kind of thinking, I'm sure, after spending Christmas in Shreveport of other things, is there enough young talent in this game to make it worth it?
Oh, sure. I mean, you look at what North Carolina has with some big-time NFL guys or prospects on their defense. I think that'll be interesting to see what, you know, what James Franklin can do. Obviously, Gary Pinkel had a really, really rough finish to the regular season. I think they obviously want to build back because you're right, they're the team. People are talking some about Texas A&M more going into the SEC. Missouri was the program that the Big East didn't, the Big Ten didn't want, and right now you wonder if they can kind of, you know, they lose this game to a mediocre North Carolina team that went 3-5 in the ACC, and people in the SEC go, why are we bringing this team in here? They're an embarrassment. I think that's on the Tigers to come in and show. I mean, they win this game handily. I don't think anyone's going to go, wow, they won the Independence Bowl. Bring them on. But I do think there's something to bring in the season to a close, or a younger team to show they finished with some momentum. Obviously, they're missing a terrific running back, you know, who's out for the rest of the year in Josie. But I do think this game means a lot to Gary Pinkel's program going forward.
Lots more after Christmas with the bowls. I think the worst one that I see on the schedule, and I've talked about this in a few other podcasts and on CBSSports.com, the Little Caesars Bowl. Western Michigan, great story out of the MAC this year. Really, really good turnaround, but they're facing a Purdue team at 6-6. That's the game that I think I'm going to skip. But the one after that, the Belk Bowl, Louisville, NC State. NC State ended the season well, I guess you could say. They didn't really get a great victory over anybody but Clemson at the end. But Louisville, very intriguing team, got a share of the Big East title, very young team. Teddy Bridgewater, a lot to like. I think that could actually be a turn out to be a pretty good game.
Yeah, and I mean, you have Mike Glennon, who is a very, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater, was a one-time a very hyped high school recruit, has been there, and I think had a decent, you know, year, because I mean, everyone tries to compare him or makes a comparison with Russell Wilson, which is unfortunate for him because a lot of the problems this team had weren't really on his side of it. And I think you saw this team that had so many struggles early on. I mean, quite honestly, the last month of the season, I really believe saved Tom O'Brien's job. And well, let's see what, you know, if they're going to be able to build on it, because for them to come out 7-6 and lose to this team, that's a really, as you said, a really, really young Louisville team. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the Cardinals, you know, going forward. Charlie Strong is a guy I think could have probably, if he had made it known, was ready to leave, could have gotten probably some more high profile jobs, but he is committed to build in that place, and we'll see how they can finish the year out. Any kind of exposure, if you're both of those programs right now, you know, you basically have a 3 or 4 hour window of whoever is going to be tuning in. You take advantage of that, because that's, you just don't see a lot of these teams, even though they're in quote unquote, you know, major conferences.
Air Force Toledo playing in the Military Bowl. If you want lots of points, you can probably look at that one. Also on the 28th, though, the Holiday Bowl down in San Diego, California and Texas. Now, this is, I think a lot of people are putting more emphasis on the off the field, I guess, storylines because, you know, remember a couple of years ago, Mack Brown campaigned to get into a BCS game. California got snubbed. That was Aaron Rodgers' team. They ended up losing to Texas Tech. But on the field, neither team's a great team, I would say, but they're pretty decent each other. And for California, they really ended the season on a high note, not only, you know, playing Stanford close, but winning their last game. And I think it's nice to have a big building block if you're either of these teams going into the off season.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Both of these teams, though, did not even finish 500 in their conferences, which is, you know, enough to make you kind of shrug your shoulders. I do think the advantage with Cal here is at least Zach Maynard finished the year pretty well over the last month. Once he got past that, you know, nightmare showing against UCLA, he really didn't have a lot of mistakes. He looked a lot more comfortable. It was a lot more accurate with what Tedford was doing. But he's going to get a good test. Manny Diaz, a really good defensive coach. That young secondary got better. They did get victimized by Robert Griffin a bunch, but I do think that that's a good matchup right there. And we'll see. Look, Texas's running backs were really banged up. I mean, they have some good young skill guys, but those guys really struggled to stay healthy in the second half of the season. And the quarterback play has been a major issue for Mack Brown. You know, when you were talking off the field, I mean, there's been all these rumors around Texas that, you know, he has had to try to douse about whether Mack Brown is returning for 2012 or not. But anytime you get those two programs, these are recognizable programs, And I think, you know, they do have history down there. You know, they've each been, you know, played in Holiday Bowls in San Diego. And there's always, it's always a pretty entertaining game no matter who you put in there. And I definitely think it's going to be worth seeing how Maynard does against that Texas defense.
Two really good wide receivers in this game as well. When you're talking about Shipley and Keenan Allen for Cal, of those two guys, do you prefer one or the other? They kind of have different skill sets, but both very good wide receivers and fun guys to watch in terms of breaking big plays.
Yeah, I mean Shipley, young kid who was banged up at this year. I mean Cal has a couple of good receivers too, and obviously Texas has a ton of speed out there. Not just, you know, obviously Shipley's a playmaker, but the other guys around him. I think if I'm leaning to one, I'm going to lean to the Cal guy just because his quarterback seems a lot more confident and comfortable at this stage of his development, as opposed to, you know, the two quarterbacks that Shipley's operating with at this point. I mean, maybe next year at this time it may be a different story, but right now I just thought that, you know, they're not very close to feeling very good about who's the quarterback of this program right now.
Champ Sports Bowl, that's on December 29th down in Orlando. Two big time programs in terms of reputation and history in Florida State and Notre Dame. But this has to be the matchup of two disappointing teams. When you consider how highly Florida State started the season ranked, and then, you know, all the aspirations of Notre Dame, not only getting to a BCS bowl, but there were some people, including a few people on the Inside College Football set, that picked them to go to the national championship. No names will be named on that, but definitely I guess you can, instead of the Champ Sports Bowl, this is the disappointing season bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they're Florida State top preseason top six, Notre Dame just too many turnovers, and you know for having the weapons they have on offense, they were pretty unspectacular. And I think that the best case out of here is the winner of this game will at least be able to say, you know what, we were a year away, we've made strides to finish off the year well. I mean, for Notre Dame, I thought the really sluggish start, then they had that bad performance against USC, and then they just looked like they were outclassed a little bit by Stanford on the road. I actually thought they would have given Stanford a better game there. But you know, obviously Stanford, huge edge at quarterback. I think if you're an Irish fan, you're curious to see what do you make of the quarterback situation there? Obviously, Dane Crist is out of the mix. You have a couple of younger quarterbacks. I get the feeling that Notre Dame fans are very uninspired by Tommy Rees. You just wonder, do you feel that much better about the program under Brian Kelly now than you did a year ago at this time, even heading into the Sun Bowl game? You know, it just. I think this was a year or two, and it's not to say Brian Kelly's not the right guy. I still think he is in South Bend, but I do think that you know, if they don't win this game, I think there are going to be a lot of people looking at it going, yeah, 8-5. This is, you know, we should be better than this right now. I think he's upgraded the talent on defense. We'll see. As far as Jimbo Fisher, I mean, they had a bunch of injuries. I'm also curious what happens with Jimbo Fisher's staff. He has a couple of guys on his staff who I think could be moving on, you know, maybe for either better paying jobs or at least more high profile position jobs. You know, whether it's Eddie Grant getting a head coaching job, he's really one of his top recruiters in South Florida, or Mark Stoops, the defense coordinator, has done a really nice job. We'll see how EJ Manuel finishes off. I think that, you know, he wasn't healthy for much of the year. He's an impressive kid, but we'll see. I mean, this isn't a great Notre Dame defense, but it's a better Notre Dame defense than it probably has been in some time.
Right after that, the Alamo Bowl, which features the Heisman winner Robert Griffin III and Baylor, just right down the road from the school against Washington, should be some good quarterback play, but and lots of points based on how each team's defense plays, because there's not going to be a whole lot of turnovers. I think it's going to be all offense in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about two of the 20 worst defenses in the country, and two good, you know, really good dual threat quarterbacks who can really want to beat you with their arm, but have the athleticism to do damage, and I with their legs and keep plays alive. But you're right, it is a home game, and I also think the young skill talent that Washington has, and Chris Polk is a terrific running back. But I think what's, you know, interesting here, gets lost a little bit, is we have two really good quarterbacks, or one of them I would say is a great college quarterback, obviously, in Robert Griffin, but there are really underrated talent around them. Chris Polk is one of the five best running backs in the country. Baylor has a big time back. Kendall Wright is a super wide receiver and is a super playmaker. And Washington's got a good young tight end. So there's enough out there. I'd be surprised if this game if this game isn't played in the 40s, just because of all the weapons around them and the defenses are very suspect.
And I always feel like the Alamo Bowl almost always gives an entertaining game, even if it's not the two greatest teams in there. It always seems like there's a great game out in San Antonio, so that one should be fun to watch. On the 30th, a bunch of games, there's four of them that day, starting off with BYU and Tulsa. BYU, it looked like they were going to have a rocky start to the, or based on their start, it was going to be a rocky season, but they kind of pulled together. They have a chance for 10 wins in their first season as an independent. Taking on Tulsa, another high-flying offense. This one seems like there could be a lot of points scored in this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, in Tulsa, you know, you look at those four losses, they all came to really good teams: Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Boise, and Houston. I mean, those are dangerous teams. And BYU, I thought, you know, Riley Nelson played well once he took over the team. They're still pretty young, and this is quietly one of the better matchups. I don't think there's a lot of people going to look at it and go, okay, one of these teams is going to be a top 15 team next year. But BYU will be interesting to keep an eye on. And Tulsa, you know, 8-4 record in Conference USA may not impress people, but keep in mind who they lost to. This is a good matchup.
Pinstripe Bowl right on after that. Rutgers and Iowa State. I know a lot of people don't like that bowl games or football games are played in baseball stadiums, but I always think it's really cool to play a football game at Yankee Stadium, kind of invoking how it used to be much earlier in the college football history. And this is two intriguing teams. Iowa State, they obviously had the big upset of Oklahoma State, but you know what? They have a decent defense, young offense. Rutgers, a lot of skill position talent to work with, and they also have a pretty good defense. I think this actually could be a pretty decent game down in New York.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a home game for Rutgers. We'll see if Schiano's team can finish off what has been a lot better year than people had kind of written them off, saying the program had no momentum. It had lost all its momentum. And if they can get to 9 wins and win a bowl game, especially in their own backyard, I think that would be something for them to feel pretty good about, because it had been a struggle the last couple of years with all the turnover on his staff.
And Wake Forest, Mississippi State, Mississippi State definitely with a disappointing season. I think Wake Forest, they started out well, had that big upset against Florida State, but kind of trailed off after that. And then there's the Disappointment Bowl. I think another one of the bowl games where neither team wants to be there. The Insight Bowl, it's at night in Tempe. Oklahoma, 9-3. They can get to 10 wins, which I think would be important for that program. But against Iowa, 7-5. Another up and down, disappointing season for that program as well. Motivation, you would think, would be a key thing in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Iowa, Norm Parker, the terrific defensive coordinator, longtime defensive coordinator in Big Ten. This is his last game for the Hawkeyes, and, you know, he's going to face a really good quarterback in Landry Jones, likely his last game. Oklahoma, you got to wonder, the receiving core, the last two games of the season, dropping all these passes, if they're not dialed in, you love these big Big 12, Big 10 kind of matchups. And here you would think it favors, you know, this is one of the two best teams in the Big 12, whereas Iowa struggled and lost a lot of guys. If you're Bob Stoops, you better have your team dialed up as he plays his alma mater's team, because I think they're going to be jacked up to send that coaching staff and Norm Parker out with a W.
New Year's Eve, Meineke Car Care Bowl, Texas A&M, Northwestern. Both these teams have struggled to get bowl wins, so going to be fun to see those two. Someone's got to come out victorious, and Northwestern haven't won a bowl game in forever, and Texas A&M, it's been almost 10 years since they won in the postseason, so would be interesting to see, even though both teams are 6-6, probably a little bit better than the record indicates when you all sort it out. Sun Bowl, Georgia Tech, the option offense versus Kyle Whittingham, a defensive guy. Utah's defense has actually played pretty well this year, and really is the only reason that team is 7-5, based on how their offense has struggled with injuries.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at a lot of these teams that have had a long time to get ready for Paul Johnson's offense, usually respond pretty well. I think that's a team that's, they're not going to give you a ton of points offensively because they lean so heavy on John White, their JC transfer running back, and the quarterback play has been an issue all season. But defensively, I think they should match up pretty well against Tech.
Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, UCLA and Illinois. That's the Fired Coaches Bowl. I'm not sure that will get the greatest ratings on that one, but Cincinnati and Vanderbilt on the Liberty Bowl. That'll be on ABC 3:30 on New Year's Eve. Really special, I think, for James Franklin to get Vanderbilt turned around and get them to a bowl game in his first year as head coach, isn't it?
It is. I mean, to finish strong, to get the seventh win, I think that would be big. I mean, look, they were only 2-6 in SEC play. That's not that impressive, but they were competitive with a lot of those games they lost. I mean, they're 6-6. They probably could have very easily been 8-4. A couple of those games that they lost to more high-profile programs were really close, and all this was done without Warren Norman, their best offensive weapon. Cincinnati has a terrific running back in Isaiah Pede, but then again, this is the same Cincinnati team that was blown out by Tennessee, who wasn't all that good this year. So I think there's one, two programs really trying to, in the case of Vanderbilt, I think this is to finish off a great year. It's something they could really sell. And if you're Cincinnati, you can't lose to both Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the same year, because you would have, even though you went 5-2 in the Big East in a 9-win season, I think it would be so uninspired if you're looking at a couple of your wins being to both Vanderbilt and a couple of your losses coming to Vandy and Tennessee.
Chick-fil-A Bowl kind of ends New Year's Eve. I'll be at that game. Virginia and Auburn, the national champs, playing before the new year, and against a surprising Virginia team. I think Mike London doesn't get enough credit for the turnaround that he had this year. Not a lot of people expected that team, as young as they are, to be in this position. But with Virginia Tech moving to the Sugar Bowl, they fill the Chick-fil-A spot, and this actually could be a pretty decent game.
I agree. I mean, Mike London really did a terrific job. If they had finished out the year, Virginia Tech thumped them pretty good, but they had that big win at Florida State. They were very competitive. Again, this is an anonymous team, whereas you have Auburn, really, really young. Mike Dyer not going to be there because he's suspended. He was the engine behind the offense, and it's going to be a challenge. Change in defensive coordinators for Gene Chizik on his staff. I'm curious to see how Auburn responds in this game, especially without Dyer there. I mean, they still have a lot of talent, but it's young talent, and you wonder how focused they're going to be here.
Moving on to January 2nd, New Year's Day is a Sunday, so all the NFL games get the press on Sunday. Everything's moved back a day. Ticket City Bowl, intriguing game. Just I guess in terms of off the field, Houston will be without head coach Kevin Sumlin. He's obviously moved on to Texas A&M, but they're trying to go 13-1, beating Penn State, who obviously all the distractions in terms of Joe Paterno, the Jerry Sandusky scandal. This is really kind of two teams fighting for a little bit of respect down in Dallas, isn't it?
It is. I mean, but you have Case Keenum and some really good weapons around him who have to get the bad taste. They don't want to finish on that Southern Miss showing when they dropped a lot of passes. Keenum wasn't very sharp. And now this is the best defense by a mile that they've seen all year. Penn State tops in the Big Ten in pass efficiency defense. Really tough. And, this is going to be the last game, I'm almost positive, for, a lot of those guys on that staff to coach there, because in the off season they're gonna have a major overhaul coming. So you're right. I mean, this is big transition here. Obviously, Kevin Sumlin's not there at Houston. He's over at Texas A&M. Tony Levine is now running the show. Tried to keep things focused. It's an experienced team. We'll see if they can handle the talent and a really loaded front seven that Penn State has.
Three games out of Florida, the Capital One, the Gator, and the Outback Bowl, all kicking off right around the same time, right about 1 Eastern. Michigan State and Georgia, I think of those three games, is the one that nobody's really talking about. But you know what? This is a very good Michigan State team, a solid Georgia team, both led by their defenses, and I think probably one of the best matchups in terms of teams fighting to get some momentum to come out of the season and really end the season on a high note, because nobody's talking about either one of them, and these are two, like I said, very good football teams.
Yeah, and a big pressure, I feel like, on Michigan State here. They got drilled last year by Alabama, who has clearly outclassed them and a better team. Mark D'Antonio has lost four straight bowl games since he's been there. This is a Georgia team that they should be able, I'm not saying they should be able to run over, but this is a good matchup for them. I mean, Alabama, you just felt like we're just much better. This is still a pretty young Georgia team that has won 10 games, but really hasn't beat anybody that looks like they shouldn't beat. And now they get this game. It's, you know what? I'm curious to see what Michigan State's going to do here. This is a big chance for the Big Ten to beat an SEC team on a relatively big stage.
Lots of press around the Gator Bowl. Who wins the Urban Meyer Bowl between Ohio State and Florida?
I think Ohio State's gonna. They have the right now. They have the better trigger man running the show. I just think that Braxton Miller has got to be so fired up. He gets Urban Meyer. I think there's a lot of energy with the Ohio State program. Whereas I don't know how much Florida loses from having Charlie Weiss depart, but I just think that you wonder where the compass is for this Will Muschamp team. I think they're kind of really sorting out where they're at right now. And obviously, you don't want to lose this game to Urban Meyer's program at this point. But I think right now this is a fascinating game. This is one of the more interesting matchups to me of the whole bowl season, just because of the Urban Meyer factor and how it impacts Florida. And Florida wasn't that long ago where people were looking at Florida talking about how they were a dynasty. And now all of a sudden, to think that they could finish the season 3-5 in conference play and maybe not even having a .500 record for the regular season is pretty staggering. So we'll see. There's still talent. There's still a lot of speed on Muschamp's program, but I think they're gonna have their hands full with the young Braxton Miller
Yeah,
and
definitely.
a really good Ohio State defense that should have almost everybody back next year.
Definitely not the way Will Muschamp wants to end his first season. We can definitely say that. Moving on to one of my favorite bowls, the Cotton Bowl, down in Jerry World, Arkansas and Kansas State. Really great two teams that turned in really good seasons. Arkansas obviously losing only to the number one and number two teams on the road. Kansas State should have been in the Sugar Bowl. We'll get to that later, but should be fun to see Colin Klein and Bill Snyder get their due on a big stage.
Yeah, I think he's my coach of the year, hands down. Won so many close games. Now they're going to face another explosive team in Arkansas. Good test. I mean, again, these are the kinds of games that you have to beat the SEC in. I mean, it's not the glamour stage of the big BCS title game, but it's close. And I think Arkansas is one of those teams now that Bobby Petrino's elevated it to that point where you beat them, it's a big statement win for your program and your conference.
Going to skip over the BBVA Compass Bowl with SMU and Pitt and the GoDaddy.com Bowl, although I think it will be interesting to just see just how many points are scored between Northern Illinois and Arkansas State on the 8th. But I wanted to jump in the BCS Bowls now. We're going to both be out at the Rose Bowl. No better sight in college football. And I think, a great matchup between Oregon speed and Wisconsin's kind of power running game efficiency out of Russell Wilson. Going to be a great matchup between those two offenses.
No doubt. And I think this is a big game for Chip Kelly, especially because, they've lost the two BCS bowl games they've been in. And also teams that have had more than a week or two to prepare for him, whether it's at the start of the year or end of the year for his system, have fared pretty well. Wisconsin, we talk about Moneyball and he's terrific, and we talk about Russell Wilson and he's terrific too. But, they have a top 10 defense. We'll see if they've been able to contain and neutralize the Duck speed this time around. It's also good. Hey, you know what? De'Anthony Thomas has been so explosive. This is kind of a homecoming game for him. We'll see what he can do on that stage, if he can steal LaMichael James's thunder a little bit.
Going to be interesting to see that one and how it all shakes out. Also moving on to the same night, the Fiesta Bowl. Andrew Luck closes his Stanford career against Oklahoma State. Opportunistic defense for Oklahoma State, and a solid Stanford defense against that explosive Oklahoma State offense. Going to love the back and forth between these two on this one.
Yeah, two terrific experienced quarterbacks, and you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of points. The question is, Oklahoma State leads the country in forcing turnovers. Can they do it to Stanford? I mean, this is going to be Andrew Luck's last game. We're almost positive of that. And you know, I think it's a way for both programs to say, to come out of here and go, you know what, if Alabama beats LSU, maybe we'll get some AP votes. You know, I don't think it's going to be enough, but, you know, it's a big chance. I think even more so, obviously, for Oklahoma State, because they were the ones a lot of people thought had a shot to play in this game. I don't think beating Stanford is equivalent to beating LSU, but if they beat them as handily as they beat Oklahoma, you know, a few weeks ago, I think that will... people will notice. I don't think they'll be swayed by it, but it will arch some eyebrows, and it will definitely help Mike Gundy's program going forward.
Sugar Bowl, Michigan and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech probably the least deserving out of all of them. I mean, they're beaten by Clemson like they were to end the season, and I mean, they're number 17, just barely getting up there to qualify as selection. But Michigan, Brady Hoke with one of the great coaching jobs of the season, 10-2 on the year, getting them to a BCS game, and Greg Madison, who definitely deserves the Broyles Award as best assistant, has done fantastic things with that defense.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, they're so much more experienced, they're so much better, so much more, it seemed like playing together, running the football a lot better. You know, maybe they can force some turnovers from David Wilson, who's had some fumble issues. Logan Thomas, the quarterback at Tech, has really played a lot better over the second half of the season as he's gotten comfortable. And on the other side of it, you wonder, you know, does Bud Foster going to have some answers for Denard Robinson and Michigan, who this year, I think, you know, everyone talks about the defense. One of the things that I think has improved for them is it's not just Denard. And I mean, in terms of a running presence, he has some options behind him as opposed to before. It was Denard handling everything. And if he got some help from the receivers, great. I think the offensive line is experienced. And, you know, Virginia Tech, I think both teams really looked terrible in the bowl in New Year's Day or in January bowls last year. And I think there are a lot of people looking at it going, Virginia Tech, you look terrible against Clemson twice. You really didn't have a lot of quality wins. Should you be in this bowl game? Should you get this opportunity? And I think Frank Beamer's staff will remind his players of that. And I think they'll try to, you know, they'll respond to it.
Orange Bowl, Clemson and West Virginia. Looking forward to seeing how these two teams prepare with a month before the game. But lots of offense, lots of explosive plays in this one, isn't there?
There is. I mean, Dana Holgorsen, great cutting-edge offensive mind. Chad Morris, cutting-edge offensive guy for Clemson, the offensive coordinator there. Two really good quarterbacks in Geno Smith, who is a guy who I think, you know, expect to be back next year, put up big numbers in his first year in this system. I think he'll really have a chance with those receivers he has, and all three of them are back, and I think that's a team that's very, very dynamic. You have Taj Boyd on the other side of Clemson, got off to a huge start and then struggled a little bit of late and then picked it up. Obviously, you have Sammy Watkins, who's spectacular. They have a better running game, thanks to Andre Ellington, I think, than West Virginia does. We'll see if that'll be the difference. I think the winner of this really has a chance for a springboard for that quarterback to I think, start the year as one of those Heisman front runners. I think whether it's Boyd or Smith, you'll see a lot of talk because we're going to see some really terrific quarterbacks moving on to the NFL, and someone is going to be filling that void. Both of these guys probably will do that, but I think the winner of this game who really makes a statement here will really get a big, big momentum push.
Going to end the bowl preview edition of this podcast. LSU and Alabama, can LSU do it again and capture the national title on their home turf?
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be talking about this a lot in subsequent weeks. For me, I just thought that the big difference here is LSU special teams are terrific. Alabama's kicking game is a big question mark, and that was ultimately the difference. I mean, LSU, it's not just they have a great punter, reliable kicker. They have either really good coverage units, and they have some great return men. I mean, you saw Tyrann Mathieu do it multiple times this year, and I remember being in West Virginia when Mo Claiborne did it against West Virginia when the game was within a touchdown. He hit a big kick return to change it. And that, to me, is what separates this team. But I do want to see how Trent Richardson is able to go at this LSU defense. I mean, he had a pretty good day against them, but didn't really break out against them the first time. You know, didn't get a chance to win the Heisman. We'll see what he does here on this stage now. I mean, this is likely his last game too, and I think that it's hard. It's got to be hard to beat Nick Saban twice in the same year, especially when he has arguably the best defense he's ever had there.
That it certainly does, and that'll wrap up our bowl preview podcast. We're going to have some more going on throughout the season, recapping what we saw and what's to come. So be sure to stay tuned to that, and we'll have more on the Three Roots podcast.